The federal government this week agreed to a $175,000 settlement for the wrongful detention and deportation of a mentally disabled US citizen. In 2008, for unknown reasons, Mark Little was turned over to Immigration and Customs Enforcement as an undocumented immigrant from Mexico. He was held for 51 days and then taken to the Mexican border and released, with just $3 in his pocket. But Little had never been to Mexico. In fact, he didn't even speak a word of Spanish. He spent 125 days wandering through Central America before finally returning home. WBAI's Andrea Sears spoke to Aisha Bandari, an Equal Justice Works Fellow and attorney with the American Civil Liberties Union Immigrants' Rights Project. Bandari says long before he was deported, ICE had substantial evidence that Little is a U.S. citizen.
Through the process of the lawsuit, we saw documents and numerous searches that revealed records which clearly stated that Mark is a U.S. citizen, and which at the very least should have prompted someone at Immigration and Customs Enforcement to take additional steps and do further investigation before moving forward with removal proceedings. Throughout the proceedings, Mark himself insisted that he was a U.S. citizen, and that alone should have triggered further investigation. But there were documents. ICE had his social security number. They had the names of his family members, none of whom were contacted throughout this procedure so that they could have provided more information, his birth certificate, for example. Nonetheless, he was removed solely on the basis of his alleged statement that he said he was from Mexico. Mark suffers from mental disabilities, and those mental disabilities were also apparent to the state and federal officials who came in contact with Mark. Even so, nobody made the effort to do further investigation or to contact family members or follow up on any of the evidence that suggested he was a U.S. citizen.
What about what happened to him on the other side of the border? He was dropped off inside Mexico with $3 in his pocket, no documentation as to his citizenship or anything else, unable to speak Spanish. Why did it take 125 days for someone to realize that he didn't belong there?
Well, I think the tragic part of Mark's story is that he spent 125 days making his way through foreign countries on his own. That would be a challenge for anyone, let alone someone who suffers from the mental disabilities that Mark has. And we don't still really know clearly what happened to him, except that we know that he was forced to live on the streets of Mexico and Honduras and Nicaragua, and he slept in shelters. He somehow found a way to survive, but not without facing abuse. He was imprisoned at various times because he was traveling without any documentation. So he endured a horrible ordeal, something that no one should have to go through. And it was really just his good fortune to come across a sympathetic U.S. embassy official in Guatemala who very quickly was able to ascertain that he was a citizen and issue him with a passport. And it's astonishing that an embassy official could figure this out so quickly, and it couldn't happen when he was being detained in the United States.
And then he was sent back to the United States, where he was again detained, and they tried to deport him back to Mexico again.
That's right. Once Mark made his way to the embassy in Guatemala and got a passport, his family was able to be in touch with him at that point and wired him money so that he could fly back home. And on his way home, he was detained at the airport in Atlanta while clearing customs and detained for another 6 days while he was again attempted to be removed from the United States. I think that shows most clearly the failures of the system and the lack of procedural protections, that here's an individual carrying a U.S. passport with family members in the United States who had been in contact with him and arranged for his flight home, and still ICE officials weren't able to figure out that he's a U.S. citizen and detained him for another 6 days.
This all began in 2008, and it is now almost 4 years later. Why has it taken this long to bring resolution to this?
Well, Mark filed a lawsuit against the federal officials involved in this case, and the case has gone through the district courts in North Carolina and Georgia, and so that process of going through the courts has taken quite a bit of time, as it does, and this resolution has come about after Mark received a favorable ruling from the district court in the Middle District of Georgia in March of this year, and that district court said that the bulk of Mark's claims could go forward against the federal defendants and had survived the federal defendant's motions to dismiss the case. So after that favorable ruling, we were able to move forward on a settlement and finalize that settlement. But obviously the process of going through the courts does take time, and Mark finally has a resolution of this terrible ordeal some 4 years later.
I suppose the real issue is, no matter what the amount of the settlement was, is ICE going to take any steps at all to check this drive to deport people that is apparently so strong they will deport U.S. citizens even with evidence of their citizenship? And on top of that, their treatment of people with mental disabilities?
That's a good question. The ACLU and the ACLU Immigrants Rights Project, we've been involved in monitoring these cases throughout the country and in pushing for system-wide changes to protect the due process rights of all individuals, whether citizens or not, who get caught up in immigration enforcement. And the sum of money in this case isn't commensurate with the amount that Mark suffered. There's really no way to put a dollar value on what he went through in the 4 months he spent outside the United States. But settling for a substantial amount will hopefully have a deterrent effect on ICE and will hopefully increase pressure on the agency to implement procedural safeguards throughout the whole process of immigration enforcement, beginning with the stage when individuals are first detained through to their procedures in immigration court. For example, there is no right to appointed counsel at the moment in immigration court, which means that individuals such as Mark, who have mental disabilities, might have to go through the whole process of defending themselves without ever once having legal assistance. Had Mark had a lawyer, who's to say what the outcome would have been? And the ACLU is definitely pushing hard on securing procedural protections for people who have mental disabilities, and especially securing a right to counsel, because there's no way to protect the due process rights of individuals if they're suffering from mental disabilities and can't protect their rights on their own.
Aisha Bandari is an Equal Justice Works Fellow and attorney with the American Civil Liberties Union Immigrants' Rights Project. She spoke with WBAI's Andrea Sears.